Blog Talk Radio.
Have that talent. Welcome to North Carolina.
Have that talent.
Have that talent.
I'm gone.
Got that rhythm.
I'm gone.
Have that talent.
I'm gone.
Got.
Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on.
I'm gone. I'm gone. I'm gone.
Alafia, greetings and Hotep. Welcome to the Care to Read Room. You've got your Omi Inca 7 live coming to you here in the city of Northern Indiana. I'd like to welcome each and every one of you to our new featured show. It's for those who are searching for their indigenous better half. Yes, we're going to be talking about the indigenous aboriginal people. Where did they come from? And who are the aboriginal people? And are the African Americans forfeiting their birthright and passing on their land rights because they have not claimed the position of indigenous people? We're going to be talking about that and inviting you in to talk with us. And we have a future guest that will be coming in to give us their input on what they think about indigenous people. But right about now, we want you to go and lock the dial in at 646-478-0270. And we also want you to come in and be a part of our chat room. Those people out there that have been dying to be a co-host, now is the time. That's why Omi's opening up her chat room to you. If you'd like to come out and chat and you're a little shy about talking, come right ahead. We invite you to do so. And we like to say Habari Gani to Harambe Radio Station. We sent up three Harambes. Harambe! 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 How you doing, Delani Alman? We hope you're doing fine. And ladies and gentlemen, this is going to be a heated topic, so you want to lock in your seatbelts because we're going to take you on a ride. Stay tuned. We'll be right back at you after Ghetto Dreams.
I toss and turn, candlesticks in the dark. I was whipping the hard, I was getting the bras. They like, who the hell is that? I was dealing sacks, you looking at niggas that drove the hell and back. Charismatic, I was raised by an addict with money in the attic. Got guns while you at it. At this present time, I'm out of my mind and that's a habit. Still got them waiting in line, they gotta have.
Last night was the first night I got sleep. Tossing and turning for 2 or 3 weeks. Oh, my nightmares are triggered by bad memories. Oh, Lord, send me an angel right now while I'm having ghetto dreams.
Cold sweats, listening to the old sweat. 1, 2, this a whole check. Now for real, nigga, this a whole check. Just horsing around polo sweat.
Yeah.
Used to dream about a bigger couch. Woke up in a bigger house. Come on, commas in my bank account. So much money, I had to let the bank account.
Last night was the first night I got sleep. Oh, tossing and turning for 2 or 3 weeks. Oh, my nightmares are triggered by bad memories.
The world stands still. Yesterday your little man got killed, and all he ever wanted was a bankroll. But he died too young cause the game's cold. Most niggas ain't no, or they just think slow. Once you get in you got to leave, but you can't though. Cause greed'll make a motherfucker evil. to the point, he down your ass when he see you. Let's take that needle, fill it with poison, inject the ghetto with the drug, paranoia. Got you looking at your homeboy sideways. Ain't no honor among thieves, is it nowadays? They tell me crime pays, but I don't think so. Cause every criminal I know is in the clink, yo. A nigga in the game right now must be working for them people, cause that shit play out.
I lay awake in my four corner room, standing
nightmare. Welcome back, family, and thank you so very much for joining us. You're in the Care to Read room. We'd like to welcome each and every one of you back to our all-new feature show talking about the indigenous abolitionist people. Who are they? And are they the African Americans? And have we forgotten who we are? And are we forfeiting our birthright? Let's talk about it today, ladies and gentlemen. I brought a guest on to help us to discuss this topic. It's a very heated topic and one that is so necessary. We have gone on with the terminology of descriptive adjectives in describing ourselves. We are a people. We the people. We are a people. We are a noun. A noun is a person, place, or thing. It is not an adjective. We should not be describing the color of our skin and using that as a descriptive version of who we are. And therefore, we are wrong for calling ourselves black, and we blotted ourselves out of society and out of our birthrights and out of the law. That's right. The word black in the realm of the legal system means blotted out, indicating you don't have a right to the law. Now, let me lay a foundation for you. So for some of those people who are wondering, what is Omi talking about? I'm trying to clarify some things for you. The word blotted out means you don't exist outside of the law. And that's how you're seen in the courtroom. And if you use the word Americans, you further colonize yourself. You're blotted out, first of all, and then you've colonized yourself. And once again, for a people as old as the Africans, we are natives of this ground, and we're Asiatic natives. We are abolitioners and indigenous to this land, non-immigrants. Say it with me, non-immigrants, meaning that we're entitled to some rights, we're entitled to some land, and we forfeited all of those, all in the name of calling ourselves African Americans, and not to mention black African Americans. And then we go further to call ourselves Negroes. Negroes. If you break down the word Negroes, it means necros. Necros, meaning dead. Dead in the eyes of the law. That's right. You're dead in the eyes of the law. And you need to know this. You can look it up. Don't take it from Omi. Now, if you look at a dead in the sight of the law, that means that when you come in the courtroom, you are not taken very serious because you don't exist in the Constitution. Now, we've got to change some things. We've really got to change some things. Why don't you go ahead and fill up that chat room? We need some people in there who want to debate today because I feel like I'm in a debating mood today. I want somebody to come in and challenge us, and we really want to invite the churches in because I'm laying it on the church's responsibility to teach a black people who they are. And stop just calling them black. Black, burnt-skinned people would be a better word rather than just black. But we are not adjectives, you say, Omi. We are nouns. So let's give a better description of ourselves and use the proper enunciation because it will determine how you are cared for. We have to understand that words cast a spell on us. And if we're casting a spell on us for being blotted out, we definitely do not need to be blotted out of our reparation. And we're going to talk about, are black people who are using the term stepping outside of their position, giving their rights to a Johnny Come Lately, someone who might not be indigenous to this land, who might have came from Spain. Now, we use the term Hispanic. Hispanic is a newly created term. It was not a part of the race, but now we're talking about Hispanics being the number two race in America, and everybody must learn to speak Spanish. They are not aboriginals, nor are they indigenous to this land. They were created as a mulatto from natives and Indians. Those two race of people created the Hispanics. So how could they be Asiatic aboriginals? They cannot be. Now, if a person has one drop of black blood in them, then they will begin to say that they cannot be Native Americans, but that is a lie, because there are natives are black as well as Native Americans. And as a matter of fact, most of your Native Americans were black, jet black. It wasn't until the Spanish and the French came in to mix with the Indians, causing the mixed race of mulatto natives. Those are not the original abolitionist people. They are not indigenous to the land, but because of their forefathers who might have been ancestors to this land, they take the rights and they deem the access to the land and say the land belongs to them. But what do we do as African Americans? What do we do as African Americans? We definitely stand back and give our rights away and say, oh, but we're African Americans, we're black Americans, and we have no claim to any land, to any rights, or reparation. Now, I'm going to bring my guests on, and we're going to have a heated discussion. I'm inviting you in, because this will be a topic that you will remember. It will be going on for the full month of September. My guest this evening is Maddie Harvey, who is from Canton, Mississippi. She actually had a chance to grow up in the South and was raised there. She knows what some of the people went through who were living through the prejudice times, and she moved to the northern area into Gary, Indiana, as she grew up later on. Now, she's going to come on board and talk with us a little bit about her opinion about what does it mean to be indigenous and why is it necessary for us to take on our rights as indigenous. Mrs. Harvey, we are going to bring you in the atmosphere. Mrs. Harvey is a senior and an elder. And before I speak again, I'm going to ask Ms. Harvey, do I have permission to speak? Do I have permission to speak, Ms. Harvey?
Yes, you do have permission to speak.
Well, thank you very much. I'm going to bring you on in the atmosphere, and I'm going to ask you that question again. Mrs. Harvey, hold on tight. We're going to bring you right in the atmosphere. Good evening, Ms. Harvey.
Good evening,
Ms. Harvey.
How are you?
I'm doing just fine, and I want to ask you, do I have permission just to the audience since you're an elder?
Yes, you do have permission to speak.
Well, thank you so much. Mrs. Harvey, we are having our discussion today about indigenous people who are part of the land and who make up the indigenous family of the clan. And we'd like to get your input because you're a southerner and you came from Mississippi and you know what it was like to be indigenous to that land. Can you tell us a little bit about what it was like growing up in Canton, Mississippi, or Sardis, Mississippi?
Well, growing up in the South is something that you have to really deal with, because first of all, you have to deal with the weather. And secondly, you deal with racism, because black people live one way and white people live another way. We couldn't go to school with them. They couldn't go to school with us. So we were all separatism all together.
Now, what would you say that you did to identify your indigenous heritage, and what were some of the things you did as far as rituals and traditions?
Some of the things we did as rituals and traditional, we learned about our heritage, and we preceded it.
Now, what was it like for you and your family as far as demonstrating your cultures? What did you do in the community to let the other non-Melanite people know that your culture created your heritage, and were you able to worship in the same church with the Caucasians in the Mississippi area?
No, we even though we worship the same God, I hope it was the same God we worship, but the simple reason we had to go to our all-black church and they went to their churches. We wasn't able to go to their church. And I always wondered, if we serve the same God, why do we have to be so separate from him? Why do I have to serve God with all black people, and I can't serve God the same God with all white people? Are we serving the same God?
Okay, now here you got me, Miss Harvey. Now I would like to inject something here. No, you're not serving the same God. Man creates his God in his own image. And we must understand that we have to throw off the slave master's idol gods. And that is why we've been stagnant, because we have not thrown off the idol gods. We have tried to worship a blue-eyed Jesus who is a male. And if you're looking at it from the comedic side of it, we don't know if God was a male, he or she or it. So we refer to the nectar as he, she, or it. And therefore, that in lies the complication of the God that they're worshiping as a man, whereas we are worshiping someone that could be any gender, and God knows no gender. So, and the other thing, if you're looking to a white, blue-eyed soul brother to govern your life and to provide for you, then you're praying to the wrong ancestors. We must develop our religion out of our culture and out of our ancestors. We cannot worship their ancestors through prayer and dance. So therein lies we would not get the same effect, nor would our ancestors honor us.
Well, may I say something here? As I grew up, we were divided with God and all. We were separate. We wasn't allowed to associate with the Caucasian race on serving God. So my mother taught us that God is not prejudiced. God is a God of love, and he wants us to serve him. So we didn't ever think that we were serving a prejudiced God, even though man separated us and caused us to think that we were less than they were. I was taught by our parents that we are equal to everybody and everything, that God made us as people, and we should love one another as he loved us.
And, Ms. Harvey, herein lies a problem where black people have gone wrong. We often say that we are equal. We don't want to just say we're equal. We want to say we're unique and different. And that is not the same thing as being equal. We could be equal in the sight of God, but just different. And we must also understand that you can't love anyone until you love your own race of people. And there are a lot of us black people that are committing black-on-black crime, and we're not loving, first of all, our very self. And the first premonition over in Africa is to know thyself. And once you know yourself, then you come to know God. But you cannot begin to know God until you know yourself. And neither can you love any other race of people until you love your own.
Well, this is what we was taught as children. We were brought up to love one another as God has loved us. We were taught to love. You first love yourself. And if you don't love yourself, how can you love somebody else? So we were taught to love ourselves and then love one another. But we were also taught, why is the white race so hatred against us, and yet they say they love God? How can you love God and you hate your fellow man?
Well, you must understand, therein lies the fact that you're not worshiping the same God. Some people have made the almighty dollar their God. Some people have made power their God. And some people have said that they are God themselves. So they are not going to humble themselves in the sight of the same God that you do.
But the thing of it is, he tells us, love ye one another as I have loved you.
He wants us
to love one another.
We're not going to get excited about it, yes, but you cannot legislate love. Love is not one of those items that you can legislate in a court of law. You can't make anybody participate in racism, nor can you prevent them from participating. There's going to be racism with us probably until indefinitely.
Well, even if there is racism, it's not tracked with God. He don't want us to be racist. He wants us to love ye one another as I have loved ye. He wants us to associate. He made us all equal. He didn't segregate us the way when he made us.
Okay. Ms. Harvey, our topic is not about racism today, but what I will tell you is this. We have got to stop pretending like in order to meet God's criteria that we must love everyone. God has never told you to love everyone. He has also
he
told
said,
you.
He said, love ye one another.
No, no, no.
I have loved you.
He has also told you that I would avenge your adversary. You have a great adversary out there. He never told you to love your great adversary. He said, let him avenge your adversary.
But he said,
so
love ye one another.
Wait a minute.
Love ye one
wait a minute.
Another as I have loved you.
Wait a minute. If he's avenging our adversary, he asked us to put it on him and let him avenge our adversary and for us to go about our way. He said, shake the dust off of those who do not receive them. You don't continue to force yourself in love. Now, that's not what our topic is about.
No, but here's what I'm saying. He told us to love you one another. We're supposed to love each other and take care of our own selves and reach out and do the same thing for others. We're supposed to love other people.
Let's get off the topic of love, because we know we can't legislate love either, and that is a broad topic. To some people, love means a whole lot of things. We're talking about Asiatic people here today, family, and we're talking about the fact that we've been so generous that we've handed over our birthrights. We're sort of like that foolish man in the Bible who handed his birthright over and didn't know that he was giving up his birthright. You were going to heir some land, and if you were going to heir money from your land and your children could go to school for free and you could have your taxes exempt, would you hand those things over readily if you knew that you were entitled to those
things?
Well,
here's the thing in a nutshell. Every other nationality has been given land and property and so forth. But we haven't been given anything. Our land has been given to us as we worked it. And we made it what it is. We haven't been given anything.
And you know what? And the white man won't give it to us until we demand it, because he figures you don't know you deserve it. Once you claim your heritage as an Asiatic aboriginer and you declare your sovereignty, and we're declaring sovereignty right here now, and we're declaring the sovereignty for the benefit of we, the people. And when you declare your sovereignty, don't make any treaties with Indian givers, because all the treaties were broken. You take what it is you think you deserve. And until we sit down and write out our own constitution, no one will honor our request.
May I ask you a question? If God is talking to us when he's speaking from the Bible, right? He's speaking to us. He said, love you one another as I have loved you. Why is it that these people don't show us love if they love one another? They
okay,
show us love.
Here once again, I'm telling you, Mrs. Harvey, that love is not a criteria for them to be Christians. That's why you're not worshiping the same authentic God. Their criteria is not always love. Their love can be placed in their money, and it can be more enforced than loving you. So what I'm saying, get off this kick about when they're going to love you. Who cares if they ever love you? The real thing is that you continue to love yourself.
No, but here's what I'm saying. The word of God said, love ye one another.
Okay, Mrs. Harvey.
If I love my fellow man, I'm going to treat
him
right.
Okay, Mrs. Harvey, our conversation today is not about love. Let us get it clear. We're talking about our sovereignty rights. And if we are going to move forward, we've got to stop getting caught up on who loves us and who doesn't, because they can get us caught up in a snare where we never move forward with the real issues. The real issues today, are we passing up our birthright? Are we indigenous people who are lost people and who have sold their birthrights for a bowl of pork?
But you see, we don't have the birthright. It's been taken away from us.
No, nothing can be taken away from you only if you give it away.
Did we give it away?
I think we did.
In slavery, we gave it away, or was it taken?
Well, from what I understand, in slavery, the so-called people they brought here from Africa did not even have to speak about their birthrights, because they automatically inherited from their kingdom in Africa. If those were the type of people they brought here and civilized, then they would know that a birthright was being taken. But for people who were natives of this land already, we would have known something was wrong as the Moors, because the Moors were the ones to cultivate through agriculture and developing the language and the legal system. So why did we walk away from the fact that we owned the land and that there was no way you could capture the land and say it belongs to this person and to move the natives off to the west and say, hey, I want your land now, eminent domain, and I have a right to it because I'm claiming it. Therein lies the problem with the Caucasian. They were wrong in the first place for trying to capture the land and inhabit it, and the Indians did fight back. They fought back to the point of millions of them being killed and treaties being broken after treaties being broken. But now, look at where they are. They are living off the land, and they're heaping the benefit of their fighting. Maybe we've got to put on our gear and gear up like soldiers, like the Indians did, and stand our ground. Then maybe someone will take us serious.
But you know what? If there are Christian people in the world who's ruling this system, and the Bible tells you what God said, love you one another. If we love one another, we're not going to do this prejudice and fight and hatred. It won't be a monster.
Okay, hold it, Ms. Harvey. Do not tell me about prejudice, hatred, and fighting, because God fought many wars in the Bible. That's how kingdoms were won. And if you're going to be like a milquetoast person and afraid to stand up and demand what is rightfully yours, you will never have anything, because no one's going to give you anything when you're passively and not aggressive. We have to take an aggressive look at this and write in our own constitution and creating our own sovereignty and go to the table where we can reason together to show them that in the Constitution, we must be written in there. We can no longer be blotted out in the law. We can no longer be considered as blotted out in the eyesight of the law. And they cannot tell me that all these so-called non-Asiatic people were entitled to all these funds and monies, and yet the black or yet the Asiatic people are not considered as having reparation. They cannot tell me this any longer. I cannot stand here and believe them when they say you're not entitled to any reparation. We are entitled to some land, and we're entitled to all the benefits that they took from us during the time that they enslaved us. And we are due that, and the only way we're going to get that is we must stand flat-footed in front of them and show them their error. And when they don't agree to reason with us at the table, we must take other measures to recoup what is rightfully ours.
Well, did the Indians do that?
Yes, they did.
Well, they gave it to them, didn't they?
Yes, they did.
Well, what about us? We were brought here as slaves. The land was taken from us, and we were made to work it and build it up.
And they took it from you afterwards, right?
Yes.
You built it up for them, and they left you penniless, broke, and homeless. Now, where is the love? Tell me, where is the love? Yet they brought Christianity. Remember when pilgrims came together and they had Christianity and they said, natives, we want you to give up your traditional heritage of worshiping. We want you to take on Christianity. We want you to love your brother and be a Christian and stop being a savage. At the same time, they were shaving people's heads, and they were mohawking people, scalping people, putting their children into institutions called boarding schools, separating their children, breaking them down, preventing them from speaking their language. And in other words, they were debriefing them, all in the name of Christianity. Just like Bookman Dadi said, we must throw off the idol gods, and then we can win and we can change things overnight.
May I ask you a question? If those people love and trust God, they would do what they do to us. Because God-fearing people would show love and would patronize us. They would do us that way.
Well, Ms. Harvey, what you don't understand is at the Nicene Council, they decided what Christianity would be, and they gave us a form of Romanized Christianity. If Jesus was here today, he would not recognize Christianity that was given to us. It is not the same thing as he had preached when he was here. So what you're talking about is another historical person, Jesus, who might have walked this face of the earth and who might not. But we do know our ancestors lived. Why not call out to our ancestors and pay homage to them?
Because
those are the only ones we can believe in.
Because God told us to love you one another as I have loved you. And if I love my brother.
Miss Harvey, how many times are you going to use that love?
I'm going to use it because that's what he said. Love you one another as I have loved
but
you.
It's a trick to that, too, because they can use a tool to make you think that they're loving you, giving you the Bible, while at the same time stealing your land.
Well, I understand that, but I'm just saying that's true. If we love one another, we're going to treat each other the way God wants us to treat
But Mrs. Harvey, what I've been telling you, if you don't worship the same deity and money becomes your deity, power becomes your deity, you're not going to get someone to practice their humanity on the same basis you do. And you cannot legislate this humanity that you're referring to.
You're right. And I believe every word you're saying. But until we die, we got to stand before God and give an account of everything we did on this earth. So if we don't give him, we will not be everlasting life.
And you're right. And you're absolutely right. Judgment doesn't come during Judgment Day. Judgment comes every day. And now we're seeing people judge more frequently than they have in the past. Their judgment is coming the next day. And judgment is upon us right now. Mother Nature is taking revenge on the judgment. Do you not know that we're supposed to be communicating and cohabitating with Mother Nature? Mother Nature is disturbed with us. We have picked up idol gods, and we have forsaken Mother Nature. We have not spent any time engaging with Mother Nature. And that is our religion, not the religion of the Romans, but the religion of nature. And going back to the habitat to inhabit the waters, the oceans, the creeks, and the forests. Mother Nature has wreaked havoc upon us because we have forgotten. We have forgotten the loyalty of communing with Mother Nature.
Well, everyone thinks you said love you one another. I have loved you. And if we can't love each other, what can we do?
Well, Mrs. Harvey, I think you're coming from a Eurocentric perspective. Let's turn some things around. Now, in the African faith, we speak of the spirit, and we speak of going to the subconscious level, which is at the water level, so we can know the mind of God. And we get to know the mind of God, and we get to see things in its perfect being, so we know how to act in the natural. Everything is seen in the spirit. God doesn't see, said, love is good, but he would that you have understanding. He said, get love, but get understanding. You need an understanding that we don't only need love, but we need to understand what the spirit realm has to offer. So we got to spend more time in the spirit so we can hear what the spirits have to say.
The spirit world lets you know what love means. You're going to treat each other the way you want to be treated. You're not going to enslave your fellow man. You're going to do unto him the way you would like them to do unto you.
Well, Mrs. Harvey, you must remember, when people become desperate to be superior, they will enslave their own people. And this has been noted in history, that the Caucasian did enslave their own people at one time. And they did attempt to use them for slavery. But you must remember, they couldn't hold out. So they went to the Native Americans to enslave them, but they couldn't hold out either. However, when they were trying to enslave people over in Saint-Domingue, where the Haitians were, they knew exactly how long a slave would last, and that was approximately 3 years. However, we get people talking about their Holocaust and what they went through and the number of people that were killed, and we get the natives talking about how they were driven off the land, but no one was treated the way we were treated. There were management, procedures and management done in whippings to keep us in shape. And there was also procedures done with our men in front of women and their friends to set an example to keep us from rising up. But thanks be to God, there has been some resurrections that no one talked about with the Haitian Revolution and how they rose up because they threw off the idol gods. And when they threw off the idol gods, they had the power to rise up. They went and they got their voodoo priests. And they kidnapped them, and they made them participate in helping them to build their army, and they build their army around a spiritual basis so that they could have the courage to go in and fight a war with just 1,000 men. They gained over 20,000 strong, and they threw off the idol gods, and they began to bring a resurrection that has never been talked about in our history books, and they overthrew their idol gods and their slave masters. And sometimes talking is not enough. When you build an army to justify or to protect your philosophy and pedagogy, your belief, then people take you serious, and they realize that you are willing to die for what your beliefs are. We just have not gotten to the point that we're willing to die for something we believe, and we have been taking the notion that just because we're Americans, that we're part of something when we're not. And we've always believed that we're a part of something, and now we're waking up finding out we never was a part of the Constitution in the first place. Why don't we just write our own Constitution and create our own sovereignty laws and govern ourselves, and they can see the kind of people we could be instead of thinking that we're three-fifths of a person and that we're not capable. If we took care of their households and raised their children and tended their crops, we must be capable of taking care of ourselves.
And you know what it says, that love you one another as I have loved you. We love them so much that we don't try to react and respect back for what they've done to us. We find love in our heart for them. And we don't show that criticism like you did this to me. You we don't show that. We love them and we respect them.
Well, there's a reward for you, Mrs. Harvey, and you'll probably get it before you get to heaven. First of all, we got to stop believing a lot of lies that have been perpetuated in the Christian faith about there's a devil that God created, a foe against himself. We know that God would not be stupid enough to create a foe against himself. The wicked evilness is within the flesh of all of us, and we can create a demon or a devil-like behavior at any time. But there is no fictitious devil out there with a pitchfork waiting for you. Those are fairy tales that they told us to keep us in place, and those were managing mechanisms. We've got to throw off the idol gods. We've got to throw that off, and we've got to stop talking about when Jesus come back. Jesus has already came back, and he's in the heart of every man. I don't think he's going to die and go through his mother's womb anymore. And if we don't rise up and become a Jesus and stand flat-footed and do the things that he said, because greater things he said that we would do, then we are going to have to become gods. Because
well, he told us
to
forgive and love one another. That's what we're doing in Christianity.
No, but he also told you that you could do greater things than he did. Are you healing the sick and raising the dead?
Some of us are.
Well, I don't think so, not in this lifetime, because you don't have the power, because you have an idol god
religion.
They're not
religion. Raising the dead, but you know how they're raising the dead? Teaching them how to serve God.
Well, first of all, God serves you. I think you got it backwards. You must understand that you are a god, and he's placed himself in you, and you can tap into God. He's combustible. He's fire. He's ratified fire, but he clothed himself in matter to place him on your head, and it's called Ori. You can talk and commune with him anytime. You don't have to die to go to